That was a great worship, wasn't it? That was incredible. Don't you just, when you're just worshiping God, do you not just experience Him? You know what I mean? You encounter God when you worship Him. You experience Him when you just lay down everything else and say, God, it's all about You right now. And you find out that He just reveals Himself to you new and fresh each and every time. I love it. So thank you, worship team, for leading us. God is doing some great things. You know that? How many of you believe that God is doing some great things right now? Yes, good. Good, because He is. And I can tell you that right now. So when I preach, you know, one of the things I was saying in the first service is that when we preach, we actually believe that we have been authorized by God with a certain message. And so when we preach from a place of conviction. It's something that has just gripped us. And so when I preach this morning, I want you to know that I'm preaching from a place of conviction. I believe everything I'm about to say. And I believe in the timing of what I'm going to say. And I believe in the will of God and about what I'm about to say. And so what I want to extend to you guys is that I'm praying and I'm hoping that you receive this message and that you will participate in this message with me. Because how many of you know that when you're confronted with the Word of God, it compels you to respond to it and participate in it? It's not a dead word. This word is alive and active. And it calls you, and your name is in it. Your name is called by it. And God has called you the church. And it says, this is My church. Go and do. Okay? So this is, I want you to really grab your hearts and your minds around what we're going to do this morning and say this morning, or what God has to say this morning. Amen? Can we do that? All right. So turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy. We're going to be looking in the first two chapters of Deuteronomy this morning. And what we're going to see, one of the things that we're going to see in Deuteronomy is we're going to take Old Testament principles and recognize how they are the foundation for New Testament revelation. Okay, so we're going to look at something that took place in the Old Testament and how it applies to us in the New Testament. Okay, we live in the New Testament. We're the New Testament church, okay? So just to paint a little bit of picture of Deuteronomy so that you have a little bit of context of what's going on. This book, this letter was written by Moses, and it covers the span of 1 month, okay? It's 1 month at one location, and the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. All right, think about that for a second. God's chosen people, the ones that He's called outside of all the other people groups on the earth, the ones that He set apart for His purposes, set apart to be His representatives on this earth. They are standing at the threshold, the front lines of the promised land that God has sworn to them and to their fathers, forefathers. And Moses writes this to remind the Israelite nation, just about, they're a month away from going into the promised land. And they stop and they say, okay, we're gonna remind you now that you are God's people. You are God's chosen people for His plans and purposes. And so this is a letter that is written to remind them of their responsibility as His people. Their responsibility as His people. And so essentially it's laying a foundation for a new generation to step into the promises of God. All right, so what happened now? The Israelites have been traveling around and wandering around for 40 years. And God said, nobody in your generation is going to see My promised land, the promised land. Okay? But this new generation is going to get to step into it. And so they're at the forefront here, and so this letter is a motivation as they're about to inherit the land that God has promised them. And I want you to imagine for a second that you are this generation, the generation that God chose to step actually into the land of His promise, to fulfill His purposes in the land. And you can imagine there would be some uncertainty, right? Like all you've known for your entire life growing up, for 40 years wandering around the desert, is wilderness life. All you know is dirt and rocks and how to survive in dirt and rocks, right? All you know is the wilderness. That's what you know. You grew up and you know how to fight. Those are the things. They were warriors as well. And so you can imagine where they're standing at the threshold of stepping into the promised land and the feeling of possibly angst and fear and uncertainty and saying and thinking to myself, wow, I'm the chosen generation to step into the promises of God. I'm the chosen generation. Me, all of us who are alive today are that chosen generation. Knowing that the promises of God are about to come to fruition right in front of you. And that you are responsible to steward that promise. Wow. Those who were alive, 1 month away, we're responsible for stewarding the promise of God. Stewarding it. Being faithful with it. Being faithful with it. And so they had to trust God completely for what lied ahead. They had to obey His commands without compromise. And that's what Deuteronomy really does. And Moses is like, don't forget. These are the commands. Obey His commands without compromise. So faith and obedience had to work together. Faith and obedience had to work together in order for them to apprehend the promises of God. Are you with me? To apprehend the more that God has in store for them. All right, so here we go. So Moses is reminding them of their journey. And in Deuteronomy, he's recalling the past events of the 40 years. And he's reminding them of what took place when God spoke to them. And they're at the forefront right now. They're on the threshold of walking in. They're at the edge of everything that they've ever known. The only way they know how to live for 40 years. They're at the threshold now, and they're about to step into the unknown, the future, right? And so he writes this to empower them, the people of God, to strengthen them and to remind them of their purpose and what lies ahead. And so we're going to start in Deuteronomy. And here's Moses reminding them of what God said. And starting in verse 5, he says, "Beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law, saying that the Lord our God said to us in Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Now turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighbors in the Arabah, and in the hill country and in the lowland and into the Negev and by the sea coast and the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.'" And verse 8, and he says, "See," this is what the Lord God said to the nation of Israel, "see," which means, that word there means behold, means look for your eyes what I have seen from eternity. I want you to gaze your eyes upon what I have always known and what I have always seen. And so he says to them in verse 8, "See, I have set this land before you. Now go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give them and give to them and to the offspring there after them." Scroll down to verse 21. Upon their arrival, the Israelites are refusing to enter in entering into the land, and they said, "We're going to send out some spies to go and see." And they come back, and the spies say, "Look, man, we're terrified. These guys are much bigger than us. Their walls are fortified. We can't compete with these guys. We can't just go prancing into this land that God says they're going to destroy us, right?" And Moses reminds them in verse 21, and he says, "See, the Lord your God." He's reminding them. They're right about to walk into it. "The Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. And do not fear or be dismayed." Do not fear or be dismayed. Go over to chapter 2, verse 3. And he talks to them and he says, these are the wilderness years. And he says, "You have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Now, nation of Israel, my people, turn northward." Turn northward. Northward. In other words, he's saying, God is saying, look, you have been wandering around long enough. And to them, the Israelites, it seemed like they've been wandering around aimlessly. Like, why are we just going around and around and around? How come in 40 years we have not arrived at the promises that you have made for us, God? You rescued us out of slavery in Egypt. Why have we not arrived? Why are we just traveling around? Why did you take us out of Egypt? And they complained and they turned their back on him. And so it seemed aimlessly to them that they were wandering around. We have the perspective of being able to see the whole full gospel, and we're able to see that there was purpose in that wandering, that God was doing something within the people of the nation of Israel. He was shaping them. He was preparing them. He was preparing a people for himself so that they would be ready, so that they would be prepared to, when the time came in his timing to step into the promised land, that they would be ready to carry out his promises. And so the wandering was not aimless. It was purposeful. And he says, "But now turn northward, move forward, onward, my people." And he goes on and he says to them, basically, don't get distracted now. Do not get distracted. You're about to pass through a bunch of territories. I'm going to send you in this direction, and you're going to pass through a bunch of territories, but keep focused. Remain focused. And he says to them this. He says, "Do not contend with Esau. and the people of Esau, your brothers. Do not contend with the people of Moab. You're going to pass through Arnon. Don't mess with those people. Don't contend with those people. Don't harass or contend with the people of Ammon. But what he says here in verse 22, in verse 24 of chapter 2, ready? He says, but rise up and set out on your journey and go over to the valley of Arnon. And again, there's that word, behold. Behold! I want you to see what I've seen from the beginning of time. What I have given into your hand. I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. Contend with him in battle. Don't get distracted, but remain focused on my purposes for you. So what is God saying to us this morning? I absolutely believe with everything inside of me that God is saying to us as a church, as the church of Delaware County, as the church in all of the world. I truly believe this. I believe this with all the conviction that now is the time. Now is the time. Go in, people of God. Take possession and occupy the land in which you live. So who are we contending against? This King Heshbon, he's not here anymore. We don't have to mess with his people. Who are we contending against? I want you to know this morning that you are contending with an enemy of this land. There is an enemy of this land. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It is the enemy of your soul. And it is the enemy of every soul, of every person that you love and care about. And his only objective is to steal, kill, and destroy souls. This is who you're contending with. This is who you're contending with. And we are in enemy territory. How do I know that? Because Jesus himself said that the enemy is the ruler of this world. That's what Jesus said. He's the ruler of this world. His influence is massive. It's immense. And none of us, we all can see that in this world. We can see that. But this is so important to know that we are in enemy territory that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what that means is that we are in enemy territory. Currently, he occupies the land. But he doesn't own this land, does he? He currently occupies this land, but it does not belong to him. This land that we stand upon, it belongs to the one who created it. And then he died for it. And he redeemed it to himself. And then he reconciled it all back to himself. All of creation. It says in Colossians 1, we're in enemy territory, but this is his land. This is his land. Are you with me? Deuteronomy 2:31, and the Lord said to them, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and this land over to you. Begin and take possession that you may occupy his land. His land. The enemy's land that he's currently occupying. And God is telling them, and I believe what he's telling us this day, is go in, church, body of Christ, believers, kingdom representatives, go in, begin to take possession of the land that God has set apart for you. Go and occupy the enemy's land because it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to your king. It belongs to your king. And so what does it mean to occupy? It doesn't simply mean to take up space, and it doesn't mean to just like fill a bunch of space and occupy this area. But the word occupy means to go in and destroy his works. Go into the land that is occupied by your enemy. Go in and destroy his works. Go in and displace his rule. Go in and displace his authority. This is what God is calling us to do. Go in. I've given it to you. Now is the time. And so the Israelites had to combine their faith with obedience in order to apprehend this truth and this promise. Their faith had to be combined and had to work with obedience as they contended for more, as they contended for the promises that God has made because the timing was right. The promised land, you see, did not just fall on their lap. For 40 years, they strived together as a community for more. the more that God had established and promised and purposed for them. They strive together as community. And I can tell you that we're going to face strong opposition from the enemy. You can count on that the enemy is not going to let us just prance through and occupy his land and displace his rule and displace his authority and destroy his works without a fight. It's going to be a fight. And we're going to be contending and we're going to be striving and we're going to be fighting for more, and the enemy is going to unleash a storm against us. But we must not lose sight of the truth that if God is for us, then who or what can be against us? Romans chapter 8 is where that comes from. I'm just going to read a little bit more. It says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. And more than that, he was the one who was raised, who was at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? What about famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, Lord, we are being killed all day long. We're being regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in verse 37, he says, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, I don't have time to go deep into that, but I just want to point out this one phrase, that we are more than conquerors is all one word in the Greek, and it means that we are over and above victors. Over and above victors. And that is because Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. Through his death and through his resurrection and his current reign. That's what we were singing about this morning. That was what we were praising about. And because of this victory, God has supplied us with the power of his Holy Spirit, lives and dwells within us to be more than conquerors in this world. And so what we're doing is we're not contending from a position of maybe there will be victory. This is important. We are contending from a position that victory has already been won. And that changes the entire dynamic of all of this. Is when God gives us a command, now is the time, go in, my people, take possession of the land that I bought and I died for and I bled for and I redeemed and I reconciled. Go in, take possession and occupy it as my people, my kingdom people. Go in and displace the rule of the enemy. Go displace his authority. Destroy his works in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your family members. The victory has already been won, and so we are not battling from a position of maybe there will be victory, but a position of, man, the victory's over. It's sure and it's certain and it can't be failed. But faith had to work in combination with obedience. I could have all the faith in the world and say, yeah, God, go get it. Go get it. But this is a word to the people of God, the chosen people who are alive at that very moment, who are about to step into the threshold of God doing something powerful and amazing in their land. And I'm saying that that is what is taking place right now. And I'm not the only person that's saying it. I'm surrounded by pastors who all believe the same thing. And they're saying the same thing to their churches. Now is the time, more than ever. God is saying that now is the time. And so we're contending and we're pushing for more, not from a position of maybe there will be victory, but because the victory's already been won. How many of you are familiar with professional wrestling? WWE, WWF, WCW, all them Ws, right? Right? Now, there are still people who, God bless them, still believe that that is real life and that it's not scripted. But we all know it's scripted, right? And what takes place in this professional wrestling is that both contenders go into the match knowing who's going to win. It's not a surprise to them. To everybody in the audience, it's a surprise. They don't know how it's going to end. But the people who are contending, who are in the battle, who are striving, the ones who are contending, they know how the victory is going to go. And so the winner of every match of professional wrestling, they don't battle for victory. They're battling from victory. They're battling from a position that victory is already certain. They know how it's going to end. And this is the message of God to us this morning, church. Go in. Go into your neighborhood. Go into your workplace. Go into your circle of friends. Go into your family. And begin to occupy land that the enemy currently occupies. Go and displace his rule. Go and displace his authority. Go in and destroy his work. Contend for this land that your king owns, that he died for, that he bled for, that he redeemed. Contend for this land. And do not contend for victory. Contend from victory. And may I remind you, church, this morning, that each and every one of you who call upon the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior is that you have been personally authorized by Jesus Christ to carry his message. Personally authorized by the King of Kings to carry his message everywhere you go and to claim that as his territory. Go into your home and claim your home, your building, that room in which your family resides, and proclaim and claim the peace of God, the blessings of God, the promises of God over your family, over that household, and then begin to take it into your neighborhood. Walk the streets of your neighborhood and pray over the neighbors. Pray over the streets. Pray that God's kingdom will be seen among this neighborhood. Go into your workplace and do the same thing. Pray and contend for more in these places in which God has positioned you specifically. He's ordained you and positioned you specifically, exactly where he wants you to be for such a time as this. You have been personally authorized and sent by Christ. In Luke 9, it says that Jesus gathered his disciples and he brought them together. And this is kind of a beautiful picture of the church right here. He gathers his people together. And he gave them power and authority, and he reminded them over that they have power and authority over all the dominions of the land. And then what he do is he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring healing to the people of the land. That's Luke chapter 9. He called his disciples together. He rallied them together. He says, guys, here's the power. Here's the authority. You have authority. I have given you authority. I've personally authorized you over all the dominions of the land and to occupy enemy territory. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's what you're going to do when you leave here. Amen? Send out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring healing to the people of this land. God is doing something now, church. Let your faith arise and let it be combined with obedience to his commands without compromise. Without compromise. Worship team, could I invite you guys on up, please? There's something I want you to recognize in that Luke chapter 9 passage where Jesus calls and gathers his disciples together. It says he gave them power and he gave them authority over all the dominions of the land, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring healing to the people of the land. I want you to notice something here. Is that you have been, again, personally authorized by the King of Kings for such an incredible moment as this. To go in and occupy enemy territory. Don't just take up space. Speak into those situations. The people that you're dealing with, the cross of Calvary, that is your territory, man. That's your territory. And you're authorized by God. But I want you to see something. You cannot lose sight of this, is that you have been authorized by God, but the authority belongs to Him. It is not your authority. It is His authority that He gives to you and He calls you to be a faithful steward of. Think about that. You've been given authority by God, personally authorized by the King of Kings to carry this incredible message and proclaim the kingdom of God. But it's not my authority. It keeps you in the right check. It keeps you in the right perspective that this is His authority. And that He's calling me and you to be faithful stewards of it. And you can either reject it, or you can accept it and walk in it and participate in it, like I said in the beginning. Everyone's got a choice. I'm telling you right now, a wave is coming that you don't want to miss. I believe that with everything inside of me. There is a wave coming, and you are going to want to be a part of it. Go in, take possession of the land, and occupy it in the victory that He has already won. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, why don't we stand together? And I've asked, you got something to say?